preach even if it makes folks mad. Amen. Because the truth is still the truth. Amen. And we can look around, you know, and we see things going on. And we see, you know, today on the radio they was talking about how, you know, oh, it's opening for Kentucky, some kind of ball. Is it football? Thank you, Sister Carol. It's football. You know. So you know, and everybody's all excited about that. Well, I'm not. I mean, that's okay if you are, and I'm not going to anything. I'm just saying that everybody gets all hyped about that. Why don't we get hyped about Jesus? How come we don't get hyped about His Sunday morning church and His Wednesday night church? Come on now. How come we get more hyped about other things? See, we need to make sure that we're pressing into the Lord Jesus Christ. We're seeking after God. I'll let you sit down in just a minute. I'll pray in a minute. But I just, I'm on a soapbox right now. I just see that it's amazing how we don't need God till we need God. Come on now, we don't need Him on Wednesday night till we need Him on Wednesday night. Come on, we need Him on Wednesday night, you know, when sickness hits us. Or there's something else hits us or anything. And you see, here's the thing. Folks can keep on moving, but you know, there was a tragic accident yesterday up on the Mountain Parkway. An 18-year-old girl got killed. 18 years old. Now, I'm sure in her mind before, you know, we need to be praying for that family, but I'm sure in her mind she never ever dreamed that yesterday would be the last day of her life. And I pray that she knew Jesus. You know, but see, that's the kind of life that people are living. We're every day we're living our lives, and we don't know if this is the last one or not. Come on. You see, so if we're not careful, we'll get in that thing, and the devil will whisper, oh, you got, don't worry about tonight. You can just go, I mean, this it's just Wednesday night church. That's all. It's just Wednesday night church. Right? Just Sunday morning church. Just, you know, it won't hurt you to miss a service. Right? Come on, that's the way the devil does. And first thing you know, you don't miss services. Right? You miss enough, you get to where you don't miss. You don't care. You just, it don't matter. So I want us to be, if there's five of us, I want us on fire. If there's 50 of us, I want us on fire. I want us seeking after God and what He's doing in our lives and in this church. Amen. And see, that's all we can do is we can just do it for us. We can pray for the others, but man, you got to move. You got to act on your faith if you have faith. And so a lot of folks act on their faith toward other things. I'm going to act on my faith toward Him. Amen? Father, in Jesus' name, we thank You tonight, Lord God, for all that You're doing in the house. We thank You, Father God, Lord, that You, Father God, are our God. You're our Lord. You're our Savior. You're our everything. And so tonight we ask You to help us, Father God, make sure that we don't miss out on anything that You have for us, God, to make sure that we're getting Your fullness in our lives. And we just give You praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen. You can go ahead and be seated. Hallelujah. We ought to be seeking the fullness of God and the things of God and everything that He has for us, right? Come on, one of the things that, you know, we'll just get right on into this. One of the things that we do is to make sure that we're receiving the fullness of God is to make sure that we don't reject the Word of God. Now, we're a Word of Faith church, and I preach on the Word a lot because that's all there are to preach on. Come on, you know, I'll tell some tales, might tell some jokes, whatever. But we need that true Word in our lives if we're really going to get everything God wants us to have. If we want to have the fullness of God, then we need to have the fullness of the Word in us. Come on, so that we can have faith toward that Word. Come on now, you know, if you don't have faith when it comes to sickness and disease will try to take you out. Come on, you've got to build your faith to the fact that you're already the healed of God. Amen. And that comes from the truth of the Word. Amen. You got to believe that God wants to bless you coming in and bless you going out. You got to believe God wants to bless your finances and your debts in the middle and make sure that you have an abundant understanding of the Word of God. So we've got to make sure that we don't take Timothy, turn with me over here. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8, verse 8, verse 8, and the things which thou hast learned and have been taught by the Timothy, to us and never touchable. Right? You always have confidence in whoever your teacher is. Come on, never. Amen. So that you can have confidence in them. What you learned, the very thing he says, from that from a child, baby. Which are able to make you wise in the salvation. You've got to understand something here. That's all the time. It means wholeness. It means health. The Word of God will help you with all the fullness of your salvation.
You won't be just walking around saying, I'm saved. You'll be able to walk around and say, I have salvation. Come on. I have wholeness. I have the wholeness of life. I have the healing of God. I have the prosperity of God. I have the abundant life of God. Because the Holy Scriptures tell me that in my salvation, that's all included. And I receive it and I walk in it. Amen. See, here's the thing, folks. You can have it, not know you got it, and not walk in it. Amen. If you don't know about something, then you can't walk in what you don't know. Amen. Well, you know, I know this is a little, but it'll work still the same. You know, a lot of folks get in, lately, L8. You know, a lot of folks don't like L8. You know, and that's okay, but some folks do like L8, and they like the regular L8, and then some likes the cherry, and some other says it's cough syrup medicine, and then some of them like the orange, and then some of them don't like the orange, and then they came out, you know, with the blackberry, that blackberry, and they came out with the peach, right? But the peach, you know, everybody's talking about the peach, and then, see, I just said, you can't have anything, he said, if you like peach, let me tell you what you need to know, you'll buy it all. He said, who's slushy then, Mary? He said, I'm sure that you're tasting milk. And now it's my God, by the way, it's faster than my special girl. I had never tasted it before, so I wanted her to taste that. And she was not so. Okay. I don't know how many years I've been there. But man, I know that. Because I know about it. I thought you know that. How can you know how good it is? This word we got, this word. And so anything we need, any time we can have it. And we have it now. For what God. So, and so we make sure that word. And so he was on here and he says, you know, you've known the Scriptures and made you wise to salvation. Then verse 16 says, all Scriptures for proof, for correction, about God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, and all the Scriptures profitable to us. All the Scriptures are profitable to you when you get fresh from the word of God. But verse 15, it says, and how acquainted with the Spirit, right? Which I want to instruct you and give you understanding for the entire human personality of God in Christ Jesus with wisdom and His goodness. So it says all five here. That's what it says. It says, so that the man of God can thoroughly equip every good work. See, that's what the Word of God says. That's what it was a pastor. But I'm trying to get across that for you and I can say something and that thing which can pass. Why?
Because we have faith in the Word. We have faith in God. We have faith that when we speak out the Word of God, it's going to come to pass in our life. And so when we see that, then we start understanding what the Word of God is. Matter of fact, go with me to Hebrews chapter 4. I'll show you here. Hebrews chapter 4. And if you go to verse 12 here, look what it says. It says, for the Word of God is quick. That means it's living. And powerful. And sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And of the joints and marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Notice that the Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and of the intents of the heart. The Word of God is. Not just God, not just Jesus, not just the Holy Spirit, but the Word is. Isn't that something? Well, see, all the Word, Jesus was the Word made flesh. So that no wonder the Word's like that. Let me give you Amplified for just verse 12. It says, for the Word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. I like that, don't you? That's what the Word of God is. It's active, operative, energizing, and effective. See, a lot of times we're going around and we're just, I just don't have any energy. I don't have any. And you know, I understand that. But notice what it just says. It says the Word of God will energize you. Maybe what we need sometimes, instead of, you know, a 5-hour energy or one of them drinks, whatever you call them, monster drinks or whatever. Maybe what we need is maybe a good dose of the Word of God. Maybe and that way we're not putting all that caffeine into our body. Come on, not affecting ourselves chemically, but spiritually, by adding the Word of God into our lives. I'm going to tell you something. You start reading the Word of God as a child of God, and it has an effect on you. Because you understand that Word's speaking to you and speaking about you. Now, see, the Word might not mean nothing to folks that don't live for God, don't know God. But for us that know God, the Word is living to us. It's life to us. Remember over there in Proverbs, he says it's health to all of our flesh. Right? Amen. So see, when we start seeing this, we got to put two and two together and understand God wants that Word working in our lives in a big time way. Listen to, I got another scripture right along that lines on 12 and 13 from the Message. It says, God means what He says. What He says goes.
His powerful word is sharp as a surgeon's scalpel, cutting through everything, whether doubt or defense, laying us open to listen and obey. Nothing and no one is impervious to God's word. We can't get away from it no matter what. Isn't that good? You can't get away from the Word of God. You might try to, but you can't get away from the Word of God. It will come to pass. It will come to pass. You might think it won't, but it will come to pass. A lot of folks apparently don't believe the Word's going to come to pass, or we'd have more folks in our churches on Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights. Right? But the Word works. And see, you have to put more confidence in the Word than anything else in your life. Amen. But, well, you know, there's the example, remember Peter, when he's fishing, he's been fishing, they're washing their nets, Jesus comes and says, can I, you know, basically he uses his boat and goes out there and he's preaching to the people. And then he tells Peter, he says, now I want you to cast out to the deep and get ready for a great draw. Now in the natural, we've talked about this many times, in the natural part of his understanding is this, he's fished all night and he hadn't caught anything. Matter of fact, you know, that's what he tells the Lord. He tells him natural. That's what he knew. He says, we fished and we toiled all night. We haven't caught anything. He says, nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net. At your word, I'll do it. And the Bible says when they dropped the nets, they caught so many fish, they had to call their friends to come over. The nets are trying to break. They're about to sink the boats. Why? Because Peter chose the word over his common knowledge or his common sense. See, a lot of folks, they're choosing what they feel. We're kind of in this, what I feel like society right now. You know. I mean, and they're letting them get by with things, you know. I know I'm a man, but I feel like a woman. I you know. Come on now. You know. Or, you know, their identity, you know. I saw where an older guy, like 80 years old, said he identified as a 50-year-old. And he, as a matter of fact, went and had his birth records changed. They let him change them. And guess what they did? They took his retirement away from him. Because a 50-year-old man not being drawn no over retirement, right? I thought good enough for him. Right? Somebody that stupid ought to lose their retirement. You know. I mean, but see, that's what I'm talking about right there. You've got to have spiritual sense over even what you think or your common sense or your common knowledge or the things that you talk about and think about. The spiritual sense comes first. The Word comes first. It don't make sense to go fishing in the same place you've been fishing when you didn't catch nothing. See, I've learned a few things over the years. Used to go when I'd go daylight to dark. No, you know, you had to be tough to hang with me. Scotty's still kind of like that, but we've learned a few things. He's learned a few things too. Now, James Lee goes, we go up to New York and stuff. We're kind of daylight to dark kind of people up there, but we know the fish are there. But one of the things that we've learned, I used to, again, daylight to dark. I mean, fishing hard. Whether I caught a thing or not, whether I got a bite or not, all day long. You know, sometimes I'd take my brother and he'd be back there, you know, just sitting in the chair like this, sleep, because he was wore out, because we hadn't caught nothing. But see, I've learned a thing that after you go where you know there's supposed to be fish and you don't catch no fish, it's a smart thing probably just go home. Because either ain't no fish where you're fishing or they're not biting. In either case, you might as well just go home. Right? Come on now. See, I've learned that. Peter knew that. He knew they'd drug their nets all over that place and hadn't caught anything. But he said, Lord, at your word, what you say, Lord's what matters. And he dropped it at the Lord's word, and that's when he caught the fish. You see, no matter what people are telling us, no matter what we think in the natural, what God says goes. Isn't that what the message said? What God says goes. So it don't matter if the doctor walks up and says, you've got an incurable cancer. That's what the doctor says. But what God says is you'll live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. Come on, right? And you know, The doctor can say, well, you've got this and you've got this and you've got that and you've got that. But the Word says, by His stripes you were healed. You see, and so you've got to choose to function according to the Word versus what you know. See, most people, as soon as they hear the word cancer, that's it. They're off and gone. The devil's taking them on a wild roller coaster ride. They even probably see in their own funeral sometimes. But that's not what God wants. God wants you to know that His name is greater than any name a doctor can name. Come on, that He is the great physician. So you have to take the Word of God over the word of the best doctor, the word of the best lawyer, the word of the best banker. You take the Word of God over that, no matter what they're saying. Even if it's impossible, because I'm going to show you that it don't matter if it's impossible. Amen. Peter chose the Word of God. Remember Naaman? Naaman had the leprosy. You know, he's up in Syria up there. He's got leprosy. The little girl says, you know, if he was down there where I came from, he'd get healed. And so when he hears that word, he goes and he goes to his king and sends letters down to the king of Israel saying, I'm sending my man down there to get healed. And the king of Israel's freaking out. Who they think I am? I'm not God. You know, he's repenting and sackcloth. And the prophet says, send him on down here. I show him there's a God here in Israel. And so he comes down there. Again, very familiar. I preach on this a lot, but it's one of my favorite stories because it's kind of like what we do. He came down there with all of his preconceived ideals, all of his thinking, what he thought, this is what he's going to do, and this is how he... And come on now, let me ask you something. Have you never tried to figure out how God was going to bless you? Huh? Come on now. You set in your head, now, I wonder how God's going to bless me here. I'm asking for this. I wonder how God's going to bring that about. You know, in your mind, you kind of play that out. I believe that's what Naaman was doing. And so he gets down there, and the servant comes out and says, go dip in the Jordan 7 times. Well, that just broke his record all to pieces. Right? What he was thinking, that can't be right, you know, and he gets mad and he takes off, and his servant has to run him down and say, listen, Ben said to do something hard, you'd have done it. Why don't you just go try it? And you see, it was at the word of the prophet, go dip 7 times. And when he dipped 7 times, he came back with brand new skin. You see, his common sense was going crazy. You know, matter of fact, he was driving away saying, the rivers back at home are a whole lot better than what they are here. And he wants me to go down here in this old muddy Jordan and you know, he's the devil's wreaking havoc with him. And see, that's what the devil likes to do. He wants to try to cause you to miss out on the fullness that God has for you by telling you all this stuff. Well, you know, if God really wanted to heal me, he'd had Pastor call me out. Because that's what I told God. If Pastor called me out, I know that. No, you can't count on that. I might miss it. God will never miss it, but I could miss it. And I might not call you out because he may tell me to, and I still may think, that's just me. Because you have to be up here to understand what I'm talking about when it comes to operating in the gifts and that kind of thing. Because, you know, you don't want to do something that God didn't say do. Right? So I would rather miss it and have to take chastisement from God than to just blurt out something, do something that wasn't God. You see, so you have to understand that you can't have preconditions for God. Don't tell God how to do His job. Don't try to figure out how God's going to do His job. Just take His word on it, and when you take His word on it, you'll get what God said you could have. Amen. Naaman got his healing. He tried to come and pay the prophet, but the prophet wouldn't take any money. Uh-uh. He said, well, can I just have some dirt? Can I have this place is holy ground. Just give me some of this dirt to take back home. So when I go into the temple where my king goes in and he worships his God, I can be on the dirt that came from here and worship your God. Come on, you talk about turning somebody around. My goodness, I wish some folks around this place would want some dirt. That they want something that they could connect to God with. Because it's so disconnected with everything that's going on. We need to be getting the fullness of God, but we won't get the fullness of God on our electronics. We won't get the fullness of God watching TV shows, Netflix or whatever. It don't matter what we're watching. We won't get the fullness of God when we let that be a substitute for spending time with Him, studying the Word, and just praying. Come on, we all say the same thing. I said we. I've got fingers pointing at me. Well, I just don't have time. But how many seasons of particular shows have you watched? Come on, how many times have you been watched a whole season? You know, come on, hour after hour, but you ain't got no time. Come on, I'm not getting on you. I'm just giving you some reality here to see if we want the fullness of God, some of that stuff we could kind of lay aside and make sure God gets His first. It's not that God minds that. It's just that a lot of times we put that in front of Him or before Him or instead of Him. Amen. So we have to make sure that we are not rejecting Word, keeping that Word there. Let me give you just a few scriptures here. Psalm 33:4 says, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all of His works are done in truth." Notice that. The word of the Lord's right. Psalm 138:2, "I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." Notice that. Well, come on, at the name of Jesus, demons bow. Right? And every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord. Notice He says He magnified His word above His name. Wow, because that tells you how powerful the word is. Above His name. John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." See, believing the word is what sets you apart. Now, once you believe the Word and you're getting that Word, the second thing I wanted to talk about when receiving the fullness is not to put limits on God. Don't limit God. He's God. He doesn't have limits. But we set limits on Him. Because how in the world could God do that? God can do anything He wants to. He's God. Now, He won't do anything outside of His Word, but He can do anything that He wants to because He's God. He created everything out of nothing. It all belongs to Him. So don't set limits on God. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now unto Him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Notice that. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. When you start thinking about not setting limits on, you think of somebody like David. David never, ever set any kind of limits on God. He always believed God. When he was just a young shepherd boy out tending the sheep, out there where his daddy never really thought much about him, you know, all the big sons are the strong ones. They're all around doing daddy business. But David's out tending the sheep. But why he's out there, he's singing songs to God. He's writing songs to God. And why he's out there writing songs to God, worshiping God, having his heart after God, here comes a lion going to steal some of those sheep. But David trusted the Lord and he rose up against the lion and David killed the lion with his bare hands. Amen. Then later on a bear came and David killed the bear with his bare hands. Now the way that we know that David trusted the Lord is when he went to fight the giant. When he went to fight the giant, do you remember? Saul's trying to put his armor on him. You know, and David said, I've not proved this stuff. I've never fought with this kind of stuff on. I can't fight like this. And Saul says, you know, but you're just a lad. That giant's going to kill you. I'm paraphrasing, okay? He says, that giant's going to kill you. David said, listen, when the lion came to get the sheep, I killed him. When the bear came to get the sheep, I killed him. And he said, I'm going to do the same thing to this uncircumcised Philistine that's out here defying the armies of God. Now, you would think maybe that's a little pride in David. But see, the way we know it, when he wouldn't talk in pride was this. When that giant started talking smack talk to him, telling him how he was going to cut his head off and feed him to the fowls there and all that, David spoke up and he said, you know what? You come with me against me and you've got a shield and a sword and a spear. He said, but I came to you in the name of the Lord. I'm going to cut your head off. He didn't even have a sword. I'm going to cut your head off. I'm going to feed you to the fowls. And he took off running toward that giant with that little sling. And God supernaturally, I believe, I'm not saying David was a bad shot, but I'm just going to say that it sunk right between his forehead. And the giant fell. And David took the giant's own sword and cut his head off. You see, David trusted in the Lord fully. God himself said he's a man after my own heart. And so he never did limit God, even against a giant. I mean, the giant laughed at him. Laughed at how small he was. Matter of fact, the giant said, am I a dog that they'd send somebody out here like that? See, he didn't know the power of God that David did. And people will look at you and they'll say, who do they think they are? Remember, David's brothers even said, well, what kind of mischief are you coming in here for? You're just coming out to see the battle and all that. David said, is there not a cause? You see, God's got a cause for you. And if you won't limit God, if you'll trust God and get into the Word and allow Him to be everything He wants to be through you, people may talk about you. They may make fun of you. But I promise you, God's got your back. And you'll be successful as long as you do it in the name of the Lord. This church is here now because of God and because we give Him all the glory for it. Ain't nothing I've done, ain't nothing you've done. Now, we've all got to be a part of it. Thank God for that. But people used to drive up and down the road shaking their heads, saying, what do they think they're trying to do? Well, it wasn't us trying to do nothing. It was us doing something for God. The thing that God had spoken to me. And God's still doing it. It don't matter what people think, no matter what they talk. They're still saying the same things they said 25 years ago. People still believe you got to pay to get to come to church here. Somebody just not long ago wrote on our live feed about, you know, you the fellas up there that charge people to get into the church. I don't believe you ought to charge anybody to go to church. You fellas are going to go to hell for charging people to go to church. I thought, ignorance gone to seed. No comment. Just let them think what they want to think and let them talk. You know, foolishness. you can't do anything about that. You can't fix that. You see, so there's still, but see, right in the middle of that, we're believing God and we're watching God do things. Amen. And see, here's the thing, church. You can't ever get discouraged just because you're not seeing immediate success. Did you hear what I said? Every time we're coming together, we're planting more seed. And that seed's going to produce a harvest. And you just got to get ready for the harvest. My mom was the worst. I love her. She would go down to that garden, and when she thought the plant, the seeds ought to be producing, they ought to be coming up out of the ground, she'd get impatient and she'd go down there and look and she'd think, well, that's not going to come up. She'd start digging to see if she could find, and all of a sudden she'd start digging up, you know, it ought to be sprouted. It just hadn't broke through the ground yet. But she was just impatient because she wanted to see it. Well, don't get impatient because you want to see what God's getting ready to do. You be patient and you'll get to see what God's going to do. You're going to get to watch what God does. But we're going to get the fullness of God in us so that when He starts doing all this, it won't shock us. It won't take us back. We'll be ready to walk right on into that because we'll have be carrying the anointing that you're going to be able to operate in it with. See, that's what God's been preparing us for a while now. So just get ready. Stay strong. Make sure that you're going after everything God has is complete fullness. And I promise you, God's going to take care of it. Amen? Come on, stand to your feet with me. God is good all the time, isn't He? Let's pray. Father, we thank You, bless You, and praise You, God. Lord, we want all Your fullness. We want everything that You have. We want to walk in that, Father God. And I thank You, Father God. We want to lead others into that, Father. And we thank You for those that are coming, Lord, that we're going to be able to lead into Your fullness. Folks, Father, that are really hungry for You, but they're afraid to step out, afraid to come after You. I thank You, Father God, that the dissatisfaction in their lives is going to cause them to come in and see that the Lord is good. Now, Father, I thank You for this people, Lord God, that they are energized, that they are ready, they are excited, Father God, and ready for when You move in this house, God, in a mighty way, and You move in this community in a mighty way, that they're ready. And so we just bless You. We thank You for that. We give You glory for it in Jesus' name.